Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Today, the official podcast of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Robin Kottke.
And I'm David Levin. Robin, what's on tap for this week?
Okay, so much has been rescheduled because of this extreme cold snap. This is our fourth day in a row of no school because of frigid temperatures.
Crazy.
So crazy. And I hope you all have been staying cozy and have found ways to enjoy your time at home. It's a mixed bag, right?
I'm ready for it to be done.
Yeah, it's been so nice, and the girls have been thrilled, and I have been thrilled to, you know, I just played Wildcraft, that sweet collaborative game with Lucy for the first time yesterday, and yet, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I've got all of these looming deadlines and things, you know, that I need to do. But if nothing else, it's just a reminder that we have to be flexible, right?
Got to roll with it.
That's the name of the game. Okay, this week, as promised, we're going to have a special interview feature, and we will be talking with Loma Ha, Sumi Ha, and Jordan Brudas about the Korean student visit. Stay tuned at the end. This is an interview that you don't want to miss. So, some things have been rescheduled. First and foremost, the parent-child classes were to begin this week, and they will instead start next week. There are still a few spots open to join this next session. Parents with young children ages 1 to 4 can join Miss Martha once a week on Tuesday or Wednesday. Talk to Jordan Brudas in the office. She's the enrollment and outreach director. The cost is $135 for the 9-week session. I'm guessing that what they'll do is either shorten it to an 8-week session or they'll continue it, you know, just, you know, 1 week. All of that will be decided. The most important thing is to enroll if you haven't already. It's really a great time. So I've made some really great friendships, as has my daughter, through that program. It's a really good foray into Waldorf education and into this amazing school community.
Nice.
Okay, so let's see. And then there was a first grade readiness parent meeting scheduled this week that has, of course, been postponed. We don't have another date, but just know that that is on the horizon. Stay tuned. Youth Initiative High School is hosting their 22nd annual Candlemas Dinner at the Rooted Spoon Cafe this Saturday on February 2nd. Tickets are available at yihs.net. Doors open at 6. Call 606-3500 for information. Re-enrollment week is coming up this next week, February 4th through 8th. What this means, it's time to re-enroll your children for the 2019-2020 school year. A change this year, the tuition adjustment applications for those who are applying are due at the same time as the re-enrollment form. That is different than in years past. Forms will be available just outside the school office. I believe they will also be available on our website. Again, the deadline to re-enroll is February 8th, along with tuition adjustment forms for those who need them. There's a third grade parent meeting on February 4th, Monday, February 4th, from 5 to 6:30. Class meetings are always so fun. It's just so good to hear about what the kids are doing. I happen to have a third grader, so I will be at that meeting. And Miss Carrie always has a project for the parents to do, something that she would take our children through, but she takes us through as if we were students. One year we jump roped, another year we did some floor games and had to go around a circle as crabs and bears. Don't let this frighten you. It really is a lot of fun. And we've painted. We did some Israeli dance this last time. They're really so fun. And it's just a great way to really cement that relationship with other parents in the class. So here's a shout out to class meetings. There's always so much insight into the classroom culture and just really, really good connections that happen during those meetings. So again, third grade parent meeting on Monday, February 4th from 5 to 6:30. Next week also, February 5th, is when Simplicity Parenting Institute is going to unveil that free discipline and guidance workshop. Why does everything have to be so hard? And what to do when things get weird? Tell us more about that, David.
Yeah, Tuesday the 5th. It's the sessions are pre-recorded, so there's no particular time. We'll open it up on that day. I say we because I'm on Kim's team. We'll open it up on Tuesday. You can watch it whenever it works for you. It is free. You need to register. You can register a couple different ways. There's if you go to the Pleasant Ridge Facebook page, there's a post there with a link to a short video clip we have up on the topic, and also a link there to register. We're also going to have a blog post up at the Pleasant Ridge website, just directly. You can go right to the main page there and scroll down, and you'll see a post with links and information.
Yes. This is something that you can do on your own time. I cannot recommend Kim John Payne's workshops enough. It's life-changing. It makes this job of parenting so much easier.
I think this is going to be a really good workshop for folks. It's, you know, the discipline piece is a really tricky one. And another interesting aspect of it is it changes with the different phases of the child's development. That's one of the things I really appreciate about Kim's material is, you know, it's in tune with that, which is also very Waldorfian, of course, that the different ages of different stages of development. So I really think it's worth your time to check it out. I think the sessions run 45, 50 minutes each. And again, you can listen whenever it works for you. You can take pause and come back. But it's a great series for just some parent education. Super helpful. You don't necessarily have to carve out a dedicated time also. I mean, it's a video, but you could just as well fire it up on your phone and be on the treadmill or, you know, doing something else while you listen. You don't necessarily have to see it to get the value out of it.
Sure. Kindergarten mornings, Saturday, February 9th and Saturday, April 6th, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you are thinking about having your child begin kindergarten next year, or you know someone who has a child that is ready and looking at their options, come join us for this kindergarten morning. First, it will be parents and children together in the classroom. And then the second portion of kindergarten morning, the parents meet with the kindergarten teachers and outdoor childcare will be provided for the children. So if you are interested in finding out more about this program, call Jordan or email her at enrollment@pleasantridgewaldorf.org or call the school office at 637-7828. Registration is required. So winter break is coming up, even though it feels like we just had winter break. February 18th through the 22nd, no school. If you are looking for someplace for your children to be during winter break, consider the enrichment days. They're a lot of fun. They go from 8:30 to 2:30. We have them on February 18th, 19th, and 20th. You do need to register, and forms are available outside the office door, and the rates are only $30 for the day. You can stop by the office with any questions and register by February 15th. Your children will join Ms. Sequoia, who is our kindergarten assistant and also a PRWS alumna, for a fun day of seasonal crafting, outside play, and games. It's always a lot of fun. My girls always want to go.
Sounds great.
Yep. Good times. Please register by February 15th. That's it, folks, for this week. Be sure to stay tuned for the interview that I mentioned regarding the Korean student exchange up next. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. See you then.
Thanks, David. This morning, we are joined by Loma Ha, Sumi Ha, and Jordan Brudas to talk about the Korean student visit, which has become a much anticipated annual exchange. Good morning. Hi, Loma.
Good morning. How are you doing, Robin?
Doing great. Hi, Sumi.
Hi, Robin.
It's so nice to see you. Hi, Jordan.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Okay. Loma, can you tell us a little bit about the history and the original partnership for this exchange?
Okay. It's Sumi is my niece by marriage, and I was married to her uncle back in the 90s, which is when I met her, when she was a young teen. And she came and visited me and her uncle in America for 1 month. She could barely speak English when she arrived, but after 1 month, she was much more confident in speaking with the different friends around her. And she told me later that she decided during that visit to become an English teacher. And then after my divorce, we lost touch for several years. And then when my son was a sophomore in high school, he decided to go visit his father in Korea. And when he did, he reconnected with Sumi too. And she invited him to help her tutor some of her students.
I see.
And they had a good time. And then later, she contacted me with this great idea. Wouldn't it be fun to bring some of her students to America and have a little immersion time in America in English. So she brought some students and they went on a tour of, like, I don't know, San Francisco or LA or Chicago, and then came here to Viroqua. Yeah, small town, small Midwestern town. And at that time, Marianne wasn't here yet. I think, who was the administrator before her?
Diane?
Yes, Diane Mamro was the administrator. And my kids, having gotten into high school, I wasn't really connected with how things are done at Pleasant Ridge. So I just sort of blindly fumbled my way in and asked a few class teachers, would you be willing to have a Korean student in your class for a few weeks? Because it was only going to be like 2 or 3 weeks. And they each said yes, but none of us thought of asking the specialty teachers, I think.
Oh, I see.
And so we just sort of, I mean, I didn't, it wasn't an official program. It was just sort of
a visit.
An experiment. And I managed to find a few host families, I think. I can't even remember who was here that first time. I think maybe it was high school kids, too. We brought a group of high school kids to the public high school, and I worked with Kathy Close to find host families for them. And that was just so far past, I can barely remember the ups and downs of it all. But it was really interesting, and they got these little extracurricular things like a pottery class with Maureen Karlstad.
Oh, nice.
And things like that. And, of course, a ski trip.
Yes.
Anyway, then when Sumi wanted to do it again, then we were met with, okay, wait a minute. We really need to think about what the teachers are able to accommodate and so on. And I think that's when Marianne came on board. So there was a year when we didn't do it. Three girls came, or three students came with Sumi, but they stayed close with her. I think Sumi stayed at Jane Kuba's house that time.
I see.
With one or two students. So it was more just touring Viroqua and occasionally visiting a class when there was space. But after that, Marianne said, let's make this into something more organized. And so she had meetings with the teachers, and the pros and cons came out, and I can't remember if Jordan was part of it at that point or if you came on board later.
Marianne kind of handled it that first year, and then I came on board the second year after that. Yeah.
So then how many years now have we had this exchange or partnership?
Sumi remembers it being 8 years.
8 years, okay.
I'm thinking my son went to Korea in 2011.
I
think our first visit was 2012, maybe. Yeah.
Great, wow. And so now this year, Sumi has returned with her own daughters. She has twin daughters in the kindergarten. How's that going?
They are very happy, so I'm very glad to see them. Yeah, everything is okay. So I'm very satisfied and touched all the time.
Oh, that's so nice.
When I was in Korea, I was thinking about why am I attracted to Viroqua. So there are a lot of reasons. First, I really want them to have a wide variety of experience in world of school. Yeah, because there are not many students, but there are a lot of teachers. So I felt they respect each other, even though they are young. The teacher respect the children's character, personality. Also, they respect. So they learn how to live, how to relate each other. Mm-hmm. So that's why, even though my daughters had difficulty in English, but they are immersed in kindergarten. They enjoy it a lot. So whenever they call their father, even though they are 4 and a half. Yeah, 4 and a half. Daddy, I want to stay here longer with mom. Yeah, can you join us? Yeah. So that made me very happy. Also, my husband saw the pictures of my daughters. He decided, okay, so if you want, you can stay. And I want to thinking about move to Viroqua. Yeah.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah. So our family is moving. Our family's thinking is moving. A little bit. Yeah. So they made me touched and happy.
Well, we're so glad you're here. So Jordan has been, Jordan Brudas, of course, is our enrollment and outreach director and has been coordinating this visit the last few years and has hosted at least a few children as a host family.
I think this is our fifth time.
Great.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that? What's that like for your family?
Well, we have the four children already, and so adding a fifth in is not too big of a deal. And it's been really fun. I mean, it's great for them, great experience, and especially some of these kids who are coming maybe with one sibling or no siblings, they get a jump right into a big family, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
What's involved with hosting? I know that this is an annual visit, so if folks are thinking, hey, you know, this might be for us, what do they need to know?
Well, basically, it's just kind of wrapping them up as one of your own and just, you know, showing them all the sights around town and doing the things your family would normally do and including them and just making them a part of your family. So I really don't feel like it's too much more for us, for example. Others may feel differently, but, you know, it's, yeah, just treating them like one of your own, basically.
And then this fall, you were able to have the good fortune to visit South Korea yourself.
Yeah, this summer for, I think, the first time, Sumi had brought a few students over. So it was really a great contrast to them coming in January. So it was really fun to, you know, be out in the Kickapoo and doing some canoeing and things that we obviously can't do in January. So that was fun. So, yeah, and then Sumi had to leave with most of the students halfway through, so after a couple weeks, and then a few students remained that had been to Viroqua, and someone had to return them, and I got to do that. So it was pretty special trip. It was quite the experience. I don't speak much Korean, so love was lucky that Sumi was there to help interpret for me. But I stayed for about 2 weeks once we got there, and I stayed for almost 2 weeks before coming back. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And you were able to connect with some of the parents of the students who had visited or who were planning a visit?
Yes. Many things happened. I got to see the first student we hosted. Four years ago, Unho was there. So it was fun to see students that I've hosted or had been at Viroqua to see them again, and how they've grown and how their English has improved. And then I got to meet many of the families and students who were planning to come for this January. So that was really fun. I got to sit in with a number of Sumi's English classes, which was really great.
So you were able to experience the school experience there, and then this, you know, which is it pretty vastly different from life at Pleasant Ridge?
Well, I didn't really get to see their school. Sumi does it, you know, in her own space after school. I did get to see her daughter's kindergarten there, which you know, I just kind of greeted them at their, said goodbye at the door. I didn't go in. But it's different as far as they're taking classes with Sumi after school, after going all day in school. And sometimes Sumi wouldn't be done until 11, 12 o'clock at night. So very different. These kids are, you know, working well into the night hours on extra things outside of school.
Wow. Okay. So is that generally then the how you, Sumi, recruit families to come for an immersion experience? Are they generally your students?
Yeah. Most of the students who join this visit are my students who I teach or I used to teach.
I see.
Yeah. And sometimes the students who already experience this visit introduce their friends or relatives, yeah, and their siblings.
I see.
Yeah.
And I understand that there have been a few students who have come more than once. They've
said, yes, right, three times or
back.
Four times.
Oh, great.
And then later, they decide to study here as a boarding student.
I see.
Yeah. At the Youth Initiative.
At Youth Initiative,
school.
I see. Oh, great. What's a great connection there, too. So what kind of support do you offer the children when they're here? And what kind of support do you offer the host families that are hosting?
Well, of course, the children's English is limited. So one thing I do is offer ESL classes with them, especially during the day when they would normally have Spanish class. They don't need to be learning Spanish. So I pull just the Korean students out and do a little one-on-one or one-on-two ESL lesson with them for that period. Sumi and I also, especially Sumi, can do the translating, of course. I speak a little Korean, but not enough to put out all the fires. And so we can translate any misunderstandings between the students and their host families.
Imagine that those come up.
They do.
They do,
they
sure.
Do. Partly because there's cultural differences. Mm-hmm. I remember when, I think it was when Sumi first visited me, and she visited me in winter, of course, in Colorado. It was in January. And I still had a summer cover on the bed, but of course I had sheets and blankets underneath that. But Sumi didn't understand, and in Korea you just have one cover. It's generally quite thick and heavy. So she was trying to sleep under just this summer cover on a cold, lower level apartment. And when I finally realized that, I had to show her, no, you pull this back and this and this and this, and you get in between the sheets, and then you'll be warm. So things like that. Or Korean bathrooms have drains in the middle of the floor. So they're fine just splashing water all over the place. And I think Sumi also, when she was a young teen, didn't know that the shower curtain has to stay inside the tub. So it was outside the tub, so all the water went all over the floor. Which in Korea wouldn't be a problem because of the
drain. There's a drain.
But it's quite a problem here. So things like that come up that we need to just sort of figure out the cultural differences. And maybe there's a language difference or just the way the kids haven't learned yet to say please and thank you. We say thank you a lot more in America than other cultures necessarily do. One thing we also do, Sumi likes to go to each host family's home and cook a meal for them. Mm. And she cooks great Korean food. So both the Korean student in the home and the family really appreciate having a Korean meal made for them. Mm.
What's your favorite Korean meal, Jordan, now that you've had several?
I don't know. It's really hard to choose just one. I do like bibimbap, or tteokbokki. It's just like solid rice cakes with a spicy sauce. It's kind of like a street food in Korea. It's pretty tasty. But there are many other things too, so it's hard to choose. As far as going back to the support that, you know, we're offering kind of the homestay hosts, Loma kind of pinpointed some of them, but, you know, just a lot of communicating around, you know, what's going on and what they need to do as far as their arrival and different events that are planned, that piece. One other thing is that, you know, we tell the host families that, you know, you're treating them like you would your own child, and it's okay for them to, you know, have some chores that your children do, and, you know, to follow the school rules, and you can take their phones away and offer them at times that you know, would allow your own children to, you know, use technology and be on the computer and so on.
How do you handle homesickness?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to happen. That's for sure. And I think after the experience of it happening pretty much every year, the number one thing really is that we just have to take the phone away, you know, and it's so hard to have one foot in Virogua and one foot in Korea, and just to kind of, you know, be trying to live in those two places at the same time. That really does help. And then, you know, allowing them to call maybe once a week or so instead of multiple times a day. It's it, that that will really help with that a lot.
And it's also what an advantage to have a group of students who may be experiencing some of the same things and, you know, having that community to check in with. And I would think that that's so helpful.
Plus, for students who are here for the first time and experiencing homesickness, if there are students in the same group who have been here before, like this year, Yuna was able to empathize with Nahyun, like, I know you're homesick, but you'll get over it. And I don't want to leave anymore now that I've been here, you know, so they can encourage each other in that way. I also wanted to mention that being here immersed in English is a unique experience for them because in Korea, they're studying English as an academic subject. So it's something that you analyze and you figure out the right multiple choice answer, again, plug in which tense goes in this sentence, you know. So it's just very academic. When they get here, it becomes a tool for communication, which is what languages should be. So it's just nice to get them out of that studious environment into the living language.
And what would you say surprises the students most? What do you, understanding, of course, that everybody has their own experience, but what do you hear again and again from students that surprises them?
Even though my students experience America or other countries, their opinion is that they tell me, teacher, the community is very safe, and the people and teacher respect us a lot. They cannot control what to do or should do. They don't do that. So just that's why they are looking for what to do. So that means they are becoming a initiative. Yeah, right. So and they felt very comfortable. They didn't too much stress because of academic study. Yeah, so they expose their own colors here. So sometimes they made me touchy. Wow, what is how different they are. Yeah, and Korean parents expect a lot to their own children. Yeah, me too. So that's why I wanna remove my expectation from my daughters. So I wanna give chance to them. What really you like? Yeah, what do you want to be? Yeah, so I want to give some time to think about themselves. So they told me, yeah, that is a good chance to think about myself. Yeah, so teacher, I found what to do. I found what I really like. Yeah, so that is very, very miracle for me. Yeah. So that's why so many students want to live here and stay longer than expected. Yeah. Also, they are very impressed with the environment. Especially at night, there are a lot of stars in the sky. And they breathe very fresh air. Yeah, so they realize who I am. Yeah, so they realize human being. Yeah, so they made me very, very interested and touched.
Sure. Well, what more could you hope for, really? Thank you. And why January? That's an interesting month.
Because the education is totally different from Korea and America. In America, in the summer, they have long vacation, summer vacation, right? But in Korea, winter vacation is long vacation. Yeah. So they want to experience a school, especially world of school. Yeah. So that's why I apply for the winter. Yeah. Yeah. So America semester starts in December, right? September. Yeah. But in Korea, in May. March. Yeah, March. That is different. Yeah. So I really want to come here in summer, but as you know, the summer, the school is closed. Yeah, so that's why I came here in January.
I just wanted to add about some of the things that seem to impress the students. Of course, the lack of textbooks is different, and the fact that they're creating their own, doing a lot of art. I asked my boarding student, G1, this morning, when you first came, because she's been here four times now, when you first came, what impressed you? And she said, every Friday morning assembly, gathering together, was really special to her. And so much emphasis on movement, having movement class, and having recess. Apparently, they don't get as much outdoor time in Korea as we do.
Recess and outdoor time.
Yeah. And I know it's also a little bit of a shock for them to have to give up their cell phones because of Pleasant Ridge's policy. But I've seen how it helps them come out of themselves and have more of an adventure in the place where they are and with the people they're with. One big difference, of course, is simply that if they come from Daegu is a city of 2.5 million people. And so to come to our little tiny town, like Sumi was saying, with the fresh air, the stars visible at night, and you can walk everywhere and meet people. So that in itself is a huge difference. And like Jordan was saying, their school day is much longer in Korea, and it's much more what our public education system might be. Of course, school to school is different, but memorizing things to take a test. And Koreans especially expect multiple choice tests and true false, because that's what they're used to. So they come here and, we have to actually come up with the answer ourselves and write it. Mm-hmm. So that's also a good challenge.
Yeah, and I guess I would also add, just coming to a place where we're not maybe as scheduled just with activities, that's also been a real challenge with some of the students we've hosted, to say, you don't have anything planned today? Well, what are we going to do? Especially over the summer, we noticed that challenge where, our kids just run the neighborhood in the summer and don't have the structured time for their day. And so that was really, the few that could speak English really well could say, it's very strange to just have a day to just be outside and play and do what we want all day. But anyway, it's been really great for them to do that.
I think about what this must be like for the children, and you being in a whole different place. It's a whole paradigm shift. So many differences. But one of the things that I really appreciate that I've seen happening is that the children and the host families get together quite often to do things as a group. So the children are also fostering relationships with one another while they're here. Do they typically know one another before they come over? Or do the families know each other before they come over?
Yes, some of family know each other, but before their visit, I had a meeting to meet each other. Yeah, and I notify some rules or I send some information about Waldorf school. Yeah, so I had once meeting to meet each other. But most of the family know each other because they are my students. Yeah, they are my neighbors. Yeah. Mm.
And do you have a reunion when you all get back to do some sharing?
Yes, sure.
Yes, just like as a debriefing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I gave some presentation. So just I gave some questions. What is the best thing? So we shared the opinion about the school. Mm. So last meeting, they asked, teacher, can we go to Virokua in summer? So children say yes. So suddenly all of the parents raised their hands, but I have the limit to 3 people. Yeah, so the older school is very popular. Also in Korea, so many students, so many parents are very interested in Waldorf school, especially Anne's mom. Yeah. But these days, too many parents are interested in Waldorf school. So in Korea, there are several Waldorf school in Korea, but the environment is not suitable. Yeah, so that's why 2-3 years ago, Mungha, one of my friend, who is very interested in Waldorf school, she visited here, so she experienced that school. So she told me, that is real school. Yeah, so yeah, Mungha is planning to send her daughter here. Maybe she was 14 or 15 years old. Yeah.
Okay. What a cool experience for all involved. When I was growing up, we had an exchange student who was in college from Denmark, and I remember Lena well. And I think, oh, that would be such a nice experience to share with my children at some point. So Jordan, hit us up next time around when you need homestays. It sounds like a really fun experience. And thank you all so much for your leadership around this. I know it's a lot of work to make it happen, but it sounds like it's really becoming, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's really becoming more of a formalized exchange. And I'm so excited to see what opportunities will come from this. I know there have been some discussions about possible longer boarding options. And so folks, stay tuned. If you have any more questions about hosting a student, you can talk with Jordan Brudosh. She's the Enrollment and Outreach Director for Pleasant Ridge. And Loma, thank you so much for the introduction.
Thanks very much, and especially thanks to everybody for helping to accommodate these students. It's a life-changing experience for the Korean students, and I think also for the host families, too.
Yes, and yes, thank you to the Pleasant Ridge Waldorf families, and also there are some families in the community who have opened their homes as well. And Sumi, thank you for all that you've done to convince the parents to entrust you with the children, to bring them and give them such a cool experience.
I really appreciate it. If I have a chance, I want to invite some of American students to Korea. Yeah, one or two students every year. Yeah,
sure.
So I want to guide and I want to support them in Korea. So I want let them to let them experience in Korea. Yeah. So I hope.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really evolved over the past few years. Again, thanks to your leadership, and I'm excited to see what's to come. Thank you so much.